peace. This is Atan Thomas, and you're listening to WPFW Washington, your station for jazz and justice.
Another man done gone. Another man done gone from the county farm. Another man done gone.
Huh? I don't know. What? I'm just going across the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no. What'd I do?
Turn around. Turn around. Put your hands behind your back. Let's go. Let's go.
The jury of your peers having found you guilty. 10 years.
What?
Come on. Come on. Get that set.
I was in jail, too, man. It's cold-blooded in the jail. You go down there looking for justice. That's what you find. Just us.
Welcome to another edition of Crossroads Today. Now here's your host, Roach Brown.
Good morning, and welcome to Crossroads. We've been coming to you. We just talked about this for 16 years. Every week, Martine and I have been bringing you Crossroads, and we've built up quite an audience. We want to thank all those folk who sent us emails and texts and phone calls supporting our show. In fact, we've been amazed at the number of people who are listening to the show. Every time we go out somewhere, Frank, somebody hear us speaking and say, your voice sounds familiar. So I back up. I think I might have done something wrong to him back in my younger days. So I back up and say, what do you mean? Where you know me from? But it's a pleasure being with everybody, and thank you for joining us on this beautiful morning. And as usual, we open up with what we call the grapevine, information that you can use, the grapevine.
Peace, this is Atan.
Hey, 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 the grapevine. Hey, hey, hey. Tens of thousands of Marylanders received pardons for marijuana convictions. Maryland Governor Westmore ordered more than 175,000 pardons for marijuana convictions on Monday, saying the most sweeping state-level pardons in any state will help reverse harms from the past caused by the war on drugs. During a news conference, Moore said the executive order will affect tens of thousands of Marylanders convicted of misdemeanors, not felonies, misdemeanors. Some may have had more than one conviction pardoned through the process. We are taking actions that are intentional, that are sweeping and unapologetic. And this is the largest such action in our nation's history, Moore said. Though the pardons will not result in anyone being released from incarceration. I repeat, the pardons will not result in anyone being released from incarceration, nor will they result in having past convictions automatically expunged from a person's background check. Advocates praise the move as a way of removing barriers to housing, employment, or educational opportunities based on convictions for conduct that is no longer illegal. A win for thousands of Marylanders getting a fresh start to pursue education, employment, and other forms of economic opportunity without a strain on their criminal conviction. On any given day, about 2 million people in the U.S. are locked up in jails, prisons, and other places of confinement. 3.7 million people are held under community supervision, such as probation, parole, electronic monitoring, and et cetera. More people than that are held in jails and prisons combined. More than 79 million people in the U.S. have a criminal record, creating barriers to housing, jobs, healthcare, and food assistance, among many other collateral consequences. Incarcerated people and their families spend upwards of $2.9 billion per year on phone calls and commissary. And annually, people owe more than $50 billion in court-ordered fines and restitutions. Half of all Americans have an immediate family member who has been incarcerated. One in five people have had a parent incarcerated, and 2.6 million children have a parent who is incarcerated. We're invited, Martine and I, to this week down to Atlanta, I'm sorry, to New Orleans, June 22nd, to receive an award from a Freedom for All award from a black and white affair given by Rob and Fox Rich, who've been our guests. So they're flying us to New Orleans to receive an award for the third annual Freedom as an all sneaker ball, white and black. And we want to say thanks to Fox and Rob, and we'll see y'all Friday in New Orleans. Boy, we can't wait to get down there.
Congratulations, Rose and Martine.
Huh?
I would say congratulations for that wonderful honor from Fox and Rob.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Washington Post investigation has found that over the past two decades, hundreds of law enforcement officers in the United States have sexually abused children, while officials at every level of the criminal justice system have failed to protect kids, punish abusers, and prevent additional crimes. Police and sheriff's departments have enabled predators by botching background checks, ignoring red flags, and mishandling investigations. Accused cops have used their knowledge of the legal system to stall cases, get charges lowered, or evade convictions. Prosecutors have given generous plea deals to officers who admitted to raping and groping minors. Judges have allowed many convicted officers to avoid jail time. All the while, children in every state in the District of Columbia have continued to be targeted, groomed, and violated by officers sworn to keep them safe. Here's another one. A former high-ranking South Carolina prison security officer has been indicted on numerous federal charges, including smuggling contraband into prisons and selling the banned items, including more than 170 cell phones to prison inmates. Christine Livingston, a former South Carolina Department of Corrections captain, was arraigned the other day in federal court on charges that include money laundering, wire fraud, and robbery. Livingston of Gaston and Livingston from Lexington County appeared in court in shackles and handcuffs. She made at least $219,000 from 2016 to 2021. 5 years, she made $219,000 smuggling contraband items into prison and selling them to inmates. A 15-count indictment in the case said the items include 173 cell phones, headphones, screen protectors, phone chargers, SIM cards, and other types of contraband and transactions with inmates. And boy, and that we did that to let you know that when I was in prison, the money, cigarettes was money. Cigarettes is no longer what it is. Now SIM cards, phones, chargers are the biggest money makers. So guards, as opposed to selling or bringing narcotics in, they still bring that in. But man, the big ticket item is cell phones. And she made over $250,000 bringing cell phones into inmates inside the prison. Folks, this is the things have changed. And that it has been what we call the grapevine. Thank you for listening and tuning in to what we call the grapevine every week. Now, we get to our topic, our subject, and our two guests. And I just want to say that these two gentlemen are unbelievable. Their work is they're on the front line every day. And one of the reasons why we got them, I see these two jokers every week, two, three times a week at a microphone, at a meeting, at a conference. We in the traffic, blowing the horns at each other, trying to get to a parking space. I mean, Tyrone and it's not Dr. Frankie Malone. But no matter where you see them, they're all about the people's work. So they just did something the other day that we are proud of. The DMV Fatherhood Coalition was poised, they celebrated and honored Black dads. While Father's Day is celebrated every June, local organizations have been working to support, empower, and showcase positive realities about Black dads. Under the undeterred guidance of men like Dr. Frank Malone, founder and CEO of 100 Fathers, Tyrone Parker, former executive director of the Alliance of Concerned Men, and Terrence Staley, has been committed to not only working with fathers, but championing their hard work. For Father's Day 2024, the coalition hosted a three-day weekend of programming under the theme, Celebrating Fatherhood, a Cause Greater Than Self. Thank you both, you two fathers, and recognizing other fathers. Thank you for coming on and sharing what you've been doing. In fact, my wife and I was at church Sunday, and man, you had tears running down our eyes when these men who are acknowledged and recognized as fathers, because we know Black fathers catch a lot of junk, and I'm one of them, man. I have three sons, and I've been estranged with all three, and just Sunday, for the first time in 30 years, I had lunch with two of my sons, man, and it made my head grow, it made me feel good. We're still working on the third one, But fathers have a tremendous role to play in society. And I want to thank you, Tyrone, and you, Dr. Frank Malone, for this. How many years have you been doing this? You want to start off, Tyrone, and tell us what is the core?
Go ahead, Frank, but thank you.
Go ahead, Frank, you start it off.
Well, Tyrone and I started the D.C. Fatherhood Coalition 14 years ago. I've been doing fatherhood work for 22 years. I ran up on Tyrone Parker while we were at, when I was working at Department of Youth Rehabilitation Services. And we were working with them youth. And we've been connected ever since. But what people don't realize is the problem is fatherlessness. 79% of the men locked up are fatherless. Why aren't we doing something to change that? And so that's who we're doing. For the past 14 years, Tyrone Parker has led this charge, bringing the incarcerated fathers, the returning citizen fathers. We've looked and lifted up hundreds of fathers. Because if we don't do it, it ain't getting done.
That's right. Go ahead. Go ahead, Ty.
and Frank has just been extraordinary, man. I'm not just saying that simply because I'm here and on the show. This brother is the heart, the spirit of fatherhood in the District of Columbia. Every word that comes out of his mouth is how Black fathers have got to be lifted up, being a part of the family, being a part of public safety, community building, family strengthening, public health, the whole nine yards. This brother is truly the example of fatherhood, man. He lives and breathes it. And when we came across each other, man, it was earlier in our lives over at youth services. When I heard about his great work, man, and knew I had to get with him. He's one of us, Roach. He's one of the spirits that we've had along the way with Yango, Sawyer, Amelie, Ferguson. Name them. This brother had done the work, you know, in regards to real commitment, man. But we've had some extraordinary fathers of the year. But let me stop for one moment, man, and say thank Governor Westmore, you know. For that extraordinary step, historical step that he's done over in the state of Maryland. You know, he can't be thanked enough. And also, and when I heard your news component, where the lady made over $200,000, not on drugs, not on liquor, not on weapons, but bringing a telephone into the prison so that the people can connect with their families in their community. This is another example of the needs for fatherhood. Go ahead.
Let me say this. Y'all don't know, even though we appointed a father of the year for the DMV and for the city, Tyrone Parker got surprised Sunday by his church and got a proclamation from Angela Orso Brooks and was raised up as the father of the year of Union Temple Baptist Church. My God, look at this man leading by example. That's my brother from another mother.
And it ain't Let me say this, but men would be nothing without the extraordinary Black women that have been by our side. When we look at your wife, Martine, and look at Nikisha, and look at Joe Patterson, we look at Brenda Jones, we look at Miss Shelton, that have been foundations in our community. Yes. We look at Mary Wilson over at Union Temple, their daughter. I mean, you know, it's hand in glove. But we as Black men have got to begin to do our part. But at the same time, we got to be recognized. This is why what Frank had done in regards to recognizing Black fathers is so essential for our community to
You know, one of the things, Frank, you said something that struck me a little while ago. Said was hopelessness. We're talking about the crime and all the problems in Washington, D.C., and the men's have been eliminated, taken out of the equation. And we all know Now, y'all always tell that story about the elephants and how these elephants just ravaged and tore up a whole village, man, and killed all the rhinoceros because they took all of the female elephants and killed them and took their tusks. So these were orphans. Our kids are orphans. They're running around the street without guidance, without fathers, without their input. And this is a big reason why we're going through this crime problem, because the fathers have been eliminated. They've been emasculated. They've been incarcerated. And with all these irradiates on top of it, and you can't get a job, you can't get a house. And when you come back home, your kid looking for dad to take over. But dad is not in position to provide any kind of support. So he's further emasculated and feel insecure. He goes to the streets and the kids are left out there to fend for themselves. And what you're doing, when I said at the top of the show, everywhere I go, people, and this is the truth, I see Frank Malone, I see Tyrone, Chris, and Prince. I see all these guys busting their butts, man, feeding people, doing stuff. And this is why we bring folks on who we see who are on the front line, who got their boots on the ground. And Frank, every meeting you go to, you come right through the door and grab the microphone and start talking about fathers. I mean, you the first one. I said, man, I just heard about that last. You can hear it again.
Well, let me say this. I want to thank Tyrone Parker. The answer is already here. Well, who's listening? We had the Fatherhood 101 at the One's office. We trained 27 young men who've been arrested for shooting all kinds of crimes. We asked, we said, are y'all fathers? 25 of the 27 were fathers. We said, don't you want to be a better father? They said, yeah, but we ain't got nobody to show us. By the time we got finished with them, we made a video. They said, we want to be better fathers to our children. We want to treat the mothers right and be great men to our children. And the research speaks to that. The Pew Research says the Black father is one of the greatest fathers in the world, not because he got the most money, not because he's in there still married, but because he loves his children and will do anything to make sure they're safe. Now, what else can I say? We need programs to focus on cutting edge to change the father, to help him be a better dad.
You know what, Roach?
And when we
had our Concerned Fathers program in Lord Reformatory, where we would take the children down to be with their dads, every Wednesday for 8 to 9 years, we took them down there, the Alliance, and on a volunteer basis. And we saw how they bridged with their children, how they loved their children, how they would sit down and talk about how the children would sit down and talk about the impact of their father being gone and how they felt. And then we would take the Christmas toys down to Lord and give them to the fathers so that when the children come in, that we would bring in, they'd be able to give them to their children. And I'll never forget as long as God put breath in me. And this was 20 years ago, where we was leaving out of Lawton. And Lil Sade said, looked at a doll baby, said, my daddy gave me this. We're just giving it to him while he was in jail, you know. So, man, we got to begin to put more comprehensive programs in these correctional facilities where you have nothing but good men and good women, family programs, by virtue of the impact of massive incarceration. The war on drugs had created this void of Black men in our community. And we got to begin to address the depths of these problems for us, man.
You know,
there could be no public safety without the fathers being there.
Come on. There you go. You know,
think of the line.
One of the things that strike me is that I'm a father, we're all the fathers, but I don't know how to be a father. There's no school or place that you go. And I read your program, Frank, and what y'all were doing, and Tyrone and with the Hundreds Fathers. It got specific steps. Because I didn't know most men that get released now and returnees, when they come out after 20, 30 years, they don't even think about reconnecting to the family. They think they're going home.
Give
but you don't know what to do to establish contact. I got one son who I'm estranged from. He been mad at me because I was gone for 14 years. I didn't volunteer to go to jail. And you got kids who are mad or angry because dad wasn't there, dad didn't participate, or they needed dad. And dad, but dad, even though he's out, he don't know what to do. I never had my father. So my father never taught me. So I don't know how to teach my kids. So how do you be a father in your program of 100 fathers? And when I saw the piece about tips for being a dad, how you can tell them you love them. And when you call from prison, talk to them. Don't talk at them or talk down to them. Hug them, squeeze them. And what you just said, Ty, because they shut down Lawton and all our men and women been sent to the federal system, they're supposed to still use the D.C. code, pilot policies and programs for those prisons. We want to make sure that we have a Father's Day in all prisons all over the country where the kids can come in and spend all day long and let the fathers out on furlough. Let them out on Father's Day.
That's right, Roach.
Let the mothers out on Mother's Day.
Come on, Roach.
They ain't leaving America. They can't go nowhere but to their neighborhood. Let them out. We're talking about solving the crime and the problem. Fathers, that other example I just read about the elephants, people taking this all over the world about how elephants have been terrorized because of the male elephants, the female elephants were killed. Male elephants, the bulls have a role. We got the Lions of Concern Men, 100 Fathers, Cruz, a whole bunch of other organizations, Kamala Ali at the Jillabo. You got people all over the city helping us to deal with this particular problem, man. And fathers have a key role. Oh, yeah. Who did y'all name as the Father of the Year Sunday?
Go ahead, Frank.
Sunday. Sunday. The man of the city who we see at the meetings, the corporate responsibility that he displays in supporting the city, the example he leads by being a father, the honorable, great Kamal Ali of Ben's Chili Bowl, is the D.C. and DMV Father of the Year.
There you go. That's Kamal Ali. And one of the things is he don't blow his own horn. He just does the work solidly and deliver and results come down. So the Kamal Ali, who was designated as the Father of the Year for DMV, my hat's off to you. And happy Hash Smoke Day to you, Kamal.
Come on. Let me just say this.
Let me jump in and
go
say
ahead.
That,
go ahead.
That also the Father of the Year for Union Temple Church was Norman Nixon.
Come on. Yeah.
Norm Nixon is an extraordinary man, that's doing all kinds of community work. Been involved with the Marion Barry Youth Program forever, man. Have touched thousands of kids, man. And he was the Father of the Year that we have for Union Temple Church. But before we get, go ahead, Frank, but before I also want to make mention of the incarcerated father.
Go ahead, bring him out.
You know, the incarcerated fathers of the year. No place in the country, I believe, on a Sunday morning for Father's Day, as a church congregation acknowledging and celebrating a father that has life in prison for the extraordinary love that he has for his family. This year here, it was Michael Kemp. Michael Kemp created a book club so that him and his daughter could be able to read the same books and exchange the same spirit of it. And the book that he wrote for his daughter that you can get from Amazon. It was amazing. The book that he wrote for his daughter is Giving Her the Best of Me. She is my destiny. And that is his daughter's name, Destiny. they were all in church Sunday.
They were all there.
About six of his relatives, his mother, his grandmother, his aunt, his sister, his brother, his nephews. That's the example. And he went in when he was a young kid, 16 years old. He'd been locked up since 2007, man. You know, but in my last statement is that we have been able to acknowledge outstanding incarcerated fathers. And three of the incarcerated fathers was Earl Coleman Bay, who did 48 years and got acknowledged. Tony Lewis, who did a number of years and got acknowledged. Joe Spencer. And each and every one of these brothers took the certificate or the plaque before the parole board to show that their transformation of family and their love of family is very much alive. Now they home free.
Let me tell you about the returning citizen father of the year. We sent him and his 8 children to the baseball game on Saturday. None other than Don Vito Premier. Don Vito Premier has a business called the Black Pawn King. Not only do they teach chess, but through chess, they show that a brother can be a pawn. But if he lives a life, he can end up as a king.
There you go.
Strategically is guided through life's pitfalls. He did 8 years in prison, came out one of the top producers for Transamerica Corporation. This brother is putting it down. The head of the community connoisseurs.
And when did his son just graduate from, Frank?
His son just graduated from Harvard University.
From Harvard University.
Come on, man.
His son just
tell me a father.
Tell me with a father.
And
incarcerated father.
Very closely with his wife, just like I do. I can't get this done. Thank you, Mertine. We need y'all. We need y'all bad. My wife said, call Tyrone up and get so-and-so. I said, okay, baby. They round us out. That's why it was Adam and Eve, not Adam by himself. Let's get that straight, too.
Yeah.
We work together. That is the power. Family. Come on, man.
Courtney, teacher, you got to join us. She's just listening and smiling. She's all... Come on, Natisha.
Yeah, so first of all, thank you to your guest, Dr. Malone, and my dear brother, Tyrone Parker, and you, Roach Brown. You know, hats off to all the strong Black men. As it was said in the poem, strong men keep a coming on. Strong men getting stronger. Strong men stronger. My hat goes off to all of the strong Black men who survived that middle passage. I don't even know why they call it a middle passage. That's such a benign term. That was a genocidal experience with respect to our illegal kidnapping and transportation over here. Hats off and kudos to the Black men that, you know, survived being dehumanized, you know, watching their wives being raped, you know, as part of the enslavement era, and could stand by and do nothing. And those who did do nothing, they were viciously lynched and murdered and all that. All those who served in the armed forces and were denied the benefits once they came back of the GI Bill, you know, Black men just emasculated, you know, all of those who, you know, redlined and, you know, subjected to health disparities and educational inequities. And you all know very clearly mass incarceration. So I just want to say hats off to all the strong Black men out there, strong men getting stronger, strong men stronger. Mertine, you know, we love our Black men, don't we?
Yeah.
Take it away.
Ain't nothing like it.
You know, one of the things that hit me is that when I mentioned earlier that when they closed Lawton and transferred all our prisoners all across the country, and at the beginning of our show, we had a commercial with 4 little girls talking. A couple of them was our nieces. And one of them said that she was 11 years old, and all she wanted to do was to go and sit on her father's lap, kiss him, hug him, and rub his mustache. And she could not do that. So when the kids go in to see their fathers in these institutions, you got to kiss. You're allowed a kiss to say hello and a kiss to say goodbye. And depending on where you are, you cannot touch your kid. You may sit there for 2, 3, 4 hours. You cannot touch your kid. You can't put her on your lap. The daddy or the little daughter can't love her father. So we need Father's Day, not just for special days. Because of the crime and what's going on in this country, we know that the absence of the father is a key factor in all this crime and hopelessness and killing, and people don't care about each other. So we need to show concern. And I was thinking, I just saw something about kids need to have a Bill of Rights, for fathers, for kids. Kids should be notified when anything concerning them, they should be, depending on the age. But they should also have the right to spend all day, like in Lawton, we had family days and cookouts. That was taken where your kids spend all day long riding rides, riding horses and ponies, and just connecting with your fathers. When you send a father 5,000 miles away, then you and keep him for 30 years, and he come out and they want to know why he can't relate to his kids and why the crime rate is such as it is. The fathers are the bald elephants, and they need to be brought back into the scene. And I'm glad that what you're doing, Frank and Tyrone and Chris and Prince and your brothers, we got a lot of people, man, that are trying to connect fathers. We know fathers is the missing link to all this foolishness out here in the street. So we need a bill of rights for the kids. We need a bill of rights for fathers. But more than that, we need to all come together to say the fathers can play a part in reducing this crime, even though they're in prison. When you mentioned Earl Coleman, he did 48 years. He had five sons, and he called every week.
Come on.
To talk to his kids. He had a special time that he called, and the kids had to be at home so they can hear what dad got to say. So, like I said before, I don't know what to do to be a father. I'm at my age now, I still don't know. I watch other people, but I never had the opportunity to be taught. There's no school that you go to be a correct father. How do you fatherhood? Yes. How do you administer to your kids when you don't know? You never had a father, so you don't know, and there's nowhere to go to teach you how to be a father.
No, yes, it is. 100 Proverbs.
Now, youth father of the year.
Huh? Yes,
father of the year was Jalen Lee, a young brother that basically had a little crew over in the Greenway area. The Alliance began to work with him, wrap their arms around him. And he created a program called the OG program that came about. We was in over in the conference room. We had about 10 people in the conference room, ranging from 18 to 75. Earl Coleman was in there. And I asked the question, how can we stop the violence? How can we stop the violence? And Jalen Lee of Mums, he said, well, you got to get the OGs involved. You got to get those that's out there on the corner, sanction it, know what's going on, to some degree helping it, and involved with it. If you get them involved, then they will basically help to stop the violence. And from that point there, I heard him, but I put together a 2-page narrative and took it to Bob Woodson. Bob Woodson loved the idea, gave us $350,000 to do a pilot project. We did the pilot project. And here, a year and a half ago, the Justice Department gave the Alliance $2 million to do the OG project. And this started from a kid, 18 years old, that was sitting in there knowing what the problems are. So we make it inclusive to be able to make a difference. Jalen Lee was our youth father of the year.
Tyrone, I need you to take me to see Bob Woodson, too. Don't leave us out. Let me say this. Our faith-based father of the year was Reverend Delonte Goldston. Friday night, before our event at Union Temple, we were at the Wonder Bread Factory.
Yeah.
This was sponsored by Howard University. We're one of the few fatherhood organizations that's partnering with Howard to do this work and the Alliance of Concerned Men. And they gave us the Fathers and Family Reunion. What do we do? What a young kid that got shot, the 3-year-old, had a father. Not only had a mother, had a father. He was mourning. So we called this to do a healing for fathers who have lost their children. You don't never see no fathers on TV after a shooting occurs. You see the mothers, but they don't even go after the father. And so,
the car band.
So we had the drummer from the Black Panther come in and do the drum call. Mm-hmm. Then Reverend Motley poured the libations. We called ancestors. Man. We called all our ancestors, all those who had passed.
Come on.
And then we healed as a unit. Then 100 Fathers was able to present some cutting edge stuff that's going to change the paradigm for all fathers. The new 21st century father and man. Come on now. It's time for change. But somebody got to have the information to give it out. And you gotta be trained in this. It ain't something you made up. This is evidence based.
Okay, that's right. This is WPFW, your station for jazz and justice. And as you guys are saying, I see Roach every week going to this meeting on Monday night, this one on Tuesday afternoon, this one on Wednesday evening. But the bottom line is we need to be funded. You guys are doing this work volunteer. You need to be funded to make the real difference.
You know, to add to that, we can solve this problem with crime.
Yes,
it hurts, man, to look at the news and you see some ducks coming across the street and the ducks are locked down, fall in a hole, and they go through all this expense to bring all the little ducks out to unite the baby ducks with the mother duck, and they all walk across the street. The same with about a dog that get fall into a drain, and they bring that animal out and connect them with their parent. And when they hook up with their parent, the animal's okay. But we don't do that for our people. Yes. We got men, people, who can help solve this problem, stop the killings and the carjacking, but we turn our back and walk past these men as well as their sons and their kids. We got people who can solve this problem. You got two people here right now who are working diligently to solve the problem in terms of reducing the crime, the carjackings, the killers, the fentanyl overdoses, etc. But we need help. And we need help like this from these folks. And folks, when you walk past a father, he may look dirty, greasy, and stinky. But let me tell you something, that guy might can save a life if we reach out to him. You never know what you can do unless you go to it or try to get it. So folks, this show about recognizing fathers in the DMV, the Father of the Year, Kamal Ali. We got the Returning Citizens Father. We got the Incarcerated Father. We got the Youth Father.
Yeah, his father.
And you got five or six fathers that got awards over there at Union Temple. Nobody else in the city is doing this to bring these fathers together. And we need a Bill of Rights.
Come on.
Both fathers. For fathers coming, as you said, there's so many men and women locked up in prison who are fathers. Over 2.3 million kids have a mother or father in prison. 2.3 million kids have a mother or father in prison. And we need to reach them. Sure, they broke the law, but don't let them break the kids' heart on top of this while they're breaking the law. Let's unite or come up with programs and make sure these fathers, men in prison, are saving lives in prison out here in the street. We've been calling folk from various institutions all over the country who got sons and daughters who are leading gangs or involved with stuff. And we put them on the phone and they try to reach their kids to stop some of this foolishness. If you want to stop it, everybody needs to be involved. You just can't do this selectively.
The call-in number is 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893.
If you want to join this discussion, this is Father's Day. Like I said, I was over there, man, and I had a problem. I still have a problem. I still don't know how to be a father. You can walk up to a guy in the street and say, man, you a dad? He said, yes. So how do you be a father? I don't know. Ain't nobody told me about being no father. All you do is go by and buy him a Big Mac, some sodas, and take him around the corner to the playground, and that's it. It's a lot deeper than that. Just letting that kid know that you love him, you care for him, and you're concerned, and you don't keep talking. And you say about the OGs. We got a group, Ty, that we've been working with called the OGs, Optimistic Gentlemen and Ladies, to do the same thing you just said, trying to get these old guys with the history, the experience, and the expertise in the street to come together to see what we could do to save some lives, man. Because if we don't do it, won't nobody else do it. We can save some lives. And what you're doing, Frank Malone, Dr. Frank Malone, I don't like calling you a doctor because I just know you as Frank.
We got two callers on the line.
Let me say this.
We take our first caller. You're on the line, please. First caller.
Rick, Germany.
Hey, Rick, boy, you don't miss a beat, do you?
You don't miss.
You call from Germany every week. I know Hitler mad with you, boy.
I hope he's turning over in his grave.
Come on, buddy.
First of all, let me say happy transition to Angela Bofill. And Miss Mertine, I know at some point in time, you sang to Roach, I'm on your side.
You know.
Second, let me say to Roach Brown, you're still in the learning process, old man, and it gets better with age. It gets better.
I hope so.
It gets better.
Well, I hope so, because I'll be hurting every morning.
It gets better with communication with other men. It gets better.
Okay.
Happy belated Father's Day to you, Roach.
Thank you, Rich. Thank you, buddy.
I want to ask a question to your panel there. How many physicians, black doctors, are involved in what you are doing to make fathers more connected with their children in the prison system and coming out of the prison system?
You want to take a stab at that, Frank?
Go ahead.
Dr. Roger Mitchell, he's one.
Yeah,
he's great, Frank.
Dr. Roger Mitchell is on board with us. We are working with the Health Alliance Network. We're focusing. The number one enemy of black men is our health first and foremost, because we don't go to the doctor. So we need the medical community beside us in this. But we're making waves now to bring in Howard University, George Washington University, Bowie State University, partnering with us. But we got to get the funding. People got to understand the importance of fatherhood, especially for a man about to come out into the community to be with his family. He needs to get our training. We're certified master trainers. We ain't made this up. You can't make this up. It says in the Bible, study to show thyself approved. So if you ain't studied nothing, you ain't giving them nothing. So we're saying, come and get it. Come and get it. Call www.100fathers.org. We got it. I just spoke to Germany last week for the Omega Psi Phi fraternity, Germany, Korea, and Japan, on fatherhood. Come on, brother.
He makes a good point, Roach. Huh? He makes a good point. And the point that the caller asks is how many doctors are actually involved in going into the prisons with fatherhood programs? Yeah. And I think that's a hell of a statement, because at this point, there's very few that I know of that's going into the prisons to do fatherhood work and bringing their skills. This is why fatherhood is not acknowledged, because we have certain folks on board.
While we're doing this show, I've been thinking, we were down in Lorton Tide in the 70s, and you had the concerned fathers back at the beginning. Y'all recognized the need of fathers being involved. That's over 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. And you've been doing this, man, and I never made the connection of why you have a concerned fathers program for prisoners inside of prison. But y'all saw back then that the fathers have a key role to play in the direction of the upbringing of our kids, but also in making our community safe. And man, we have to continue this kind of stuff. And so our brother over in Germany, Rick, who calls every month, we need fathers to be involved. And folk, we can solve this, but again, because they got a criminal record or they do this, people don't want to talk to them and walk past them. They ain't got no place to stay, nothing. And they're hopeless. And our men have been emasculated. But to have a relationship with your kid, when that little cousin said and that little niece said, she just want to sit on her father's lap when she go visit him in prison. And she hadn't seen him in 11 years, Ty. Mm. She's 12 or 13, and she says she talked to him on the phone every now and then, but she just want to see her father, sit on his lap, and rub his mustache and tell him that she love him. This is an 11-year-old kid, and kids are hurting deeply, and we need to create programs and make fathers more connected with the kids who are in prison. We talk about Earl. We're going to New Orleans to receive this award from Fox and Rob Richardson. And one of the things she did while her husband was away, she took photographs and videos of her kids' birthday parties, taking showers and baths. She put a big cutout picture of the father on the bathroom door. Anytime they went in the bathroom, they saw their daddy. So you got to do things to keep the kids' memory alive, to make the father part of their life.
That's right.
Folks, we can save our community. We can stop some of this. Let's reach out to the fathers incarcerated and those who are returning home. And you got programs. like 100 Fathers Concerned Men. You got Chris. I'm so impressed with Chris and that Prince. Boy, them two rascals, they are all over the place.
And I'm trying to keep them with some money. Them young boys are on it, but I need funding.
Right.
Keep them out there, man. Let me say this about one of our programs with incarcerated fathers. We get the father to draw outline of himself and then fold it up and send it to his child. And when it gets to the child, they open it up. And guess what they got? What? A hug from dad. Who thought of that?
Oh,
fatherhood. Come on, man. They need us in the prison, coming out of the prison, in the schools, on the streets. Where is our funding? That's all I'm saying. Right. I get a little bit here.
We have another call on the line. You're on the line, caller. Next caller. Question or comment, please. You're on the air. Hello.
Hello. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes. Come on.
Yes. My comment, I'm going to be as precise as possible. I want to talk about Father's Day, and I want to talk about the justice system, so-called justice system. I'm going to be as precise as possible, and I'm speaking from the heart. So with the help of God, I hope I can be as precise and as clear as possible. First, let me talk about fathers. I'm going to give you my own experience, an experience that was shared by a lot of men, and that is when I first had my first child, I didn't have any children. I had my first child, and the women that I had my child by, she didn't have any children either, and that was her first child. So when our child was born, she became a mother, and I became the father at the same time. One of the enemy's biggest weapons against indigenous American people is to divide and conquer. Yes. Because he knows that our strongest unit is our family.
Yes.
When we first went through slavery, our family unit got us through all those hard times. And now they're using the weapon of divide and conquer, trying to divide the family and say this mother day and father day. Me and my wife became mother and father at the same time that our child was born. It's the same day. It's the same time.
Yes, sir.
That's a good point.
Let me ask you a question, sir. Let me ask you, where did you learn how to be a father, or have you learned how to be a father? Okay. All righty. Anybody want to respond?
That is the most powerful thing. When a father gets a child, it changes him. That's how we changed the young men that were locked up. They said, we want to be better. Father, show up. We said, well, who taught you? They said, Joe down the street. Joe down the street ain't know nothing. He was a crook too. So you need men that lead by example. You can't be a man till you see a man. Thank God I had my father for 96 years, and wow, he didn't play that stuff. One time he was giving me a spanking. My dog jumped on him. He knocked my dog back in the garage and continued to spank me. That's why I didn't have time to get locked up. I couldn't get out the house.
But you know what, man? But you know what? What your caller said was a very interesting statement as well. When he said how certain things are created to divide the structure of family. And he dwelled on, you know, the creation of Mother's Day and Father's Day. When he stated that when they had the child, they had it together, you know.
Yes.
And I think, you know, as we look at how sometimes systems can create division among family and parenting, the great program of Joe Patterson,
Parent Watch. They're part of it.
Jones.
Yes.
You know, those programs. But also, let me just say also, Tyra of Free Minds, who is in almost 25 to 30 different prisons,
come on,
working with the youth to continue to retain relationships and build their strengths. She has been the one that Free Minds have been the one that had nominated for about 8 last fathers, incarcerated fathers of the year. So, you know, we're reaching from a lot of different places that's working in the prison system.
Come on,
that
brother.
Really have legitimate fathers that are incarcerated, but are doing extraordinary things.
You know, one of the things that keep popping up is that the communications is key. If your father is locked up and you're in the street and you can't see him or you can't go to visit him and the phone calls is too expensive, one or two states across the country decided to make prison phone calls free. They should have a father line or mother line where you can call your mother and father free from prison because you need to, or the kid need to talk to, or the father need to talk to the kid to give some guidance. And what Brother Earl Coleman Bate did after 48 years, he had five kids, and he stayed in contact with all five of his kids during 48 years of incarceration. Fox and Rob, who we're going to visit down in Atlanta, New Orleans Friday, they got had five kids, and the mother raised five kids while the father was in doing 18 more years before he come out. And she kept him there, but she made sure the kids, he talked to his kids every week.
Come on.
But that takes money. So because we're talking about saving our lives and saving our community, states should make sure that all prison phone calls are free, and particularly when you want to talk to your son or your daughter, that call should be free. There should be no money, nigga. We're talking about saving lives.
Come on. Visionary. Visionary.
That should be that prison guard defense.
Let me drop all that money
and taking them phones in the prison.
Get them phones.
Redistribute.
Let me give you this. What's coming down the pipeline? I'm gonna need $1 million for this.
Oh, our time is up.
My father's house.
Excuse me. Our time is up. We ran out of time. It went by too fast. I want to thank Dr. Frank Malone of 100 Fathers and Tyrone Parker from the Lions of Concerned Men. Of course, our co-host, Nikichi Taifa. And our topic has been Incarcerated and Returning Citizens Fathers of the Year Award. And to all those gentlemen who received the award, thank you. We appreciate you. And we'll see y'all again. And please, help a father. Help a kid. We can stop all this foolishness if we all come together and make it work. So this has been Mertin and Roach. We want to thank you for listening to Crossroads. We'll come back to you next Tuesday. And remember, your inner voice is never wrong. Merry Christmas.
And happy birthday to my wife, Yvonne.
There you go.
That's the seed.
It was the 3rd of September. That day I'll always remember. Yes, I will. Cause there was a day that my daddy died. I never got a chance to see him. Never heard nothing but bad things about him. Mama, I'm depending on you to tell me the truth. Mama just hung her head and said, son, Papa was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his hat was his home.
And when he died,
all he left us was alone. Oh, Papa was a rolling stone, my son, yeah.
Wherever he laid his hat was his home. And when he died,
all he left us was alone. Mama, is it true what you say that Papa never worked a day in his life?
And Mama, some bad talk going around town saying that Papa had 3 outside children and another wife. And that ain't right.
Heard some talk about Papa doing some storefront preaching, talking about saving souls and all the time leeching.
Was
would beg, borrow, steal to pay his bills.
Hey, mama, folks say Papa never was much on thinking. Spent most of his time chasing women and drinking.
Mama looked up with a tear in her eye and said, son,
Papa was a rolling stone.
Well, 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 well.
Well, when he left his head, was his home. And when he died,
all he left us was a long, long, long.
The Pacifica National Board and the WPFW Local Station Board will be voting on a proposed Pacifica Bylaws Amendment between July 10th and August 24th of 2024. Information on the amendment, about how vacancies are filled on local station boards, and about the process will be posted on the Pacifica.org website.
Hi, this is Robin Holden. On Sunday, July 7th, from 4 until 8 p.m., WPFW is presenting a fundraising evening of roots, rock, and reggae at Mango Cafe, 4719 Annapolis Road in Blaytonsburg, Maryland, featuring the Proverbs Reggae Band with Z Lion and special guests Freedom and Saroma Lee L. Proceeds to benefit WPFW. Details, WPFWFM.org.
Very often, Juneteenth is presented as a story of news of the Emancipation Proclamation traveling slowly to the Deep South in Texas. But it was really a story of power traveling slowly and of freedom being seized. On Wednesday, June 19th, WPFW presents Emancipated Spirits, Slavery, Freedom, and Resistance from 5 a.m. until midnight. Through discussions, music, and spoken word, we will interrogate the history of that day, the true meaning of freedom, and the role resistance continues to play in securing liberation. That's Emancipated Spirits, Slavery, Freedom, and Resistance, Wednesday, June 19th, 5 a.m. until midnight, on WPFW, Building a Better World, one broadcast at a time.
Do you love WPFW? Now is your chance to get involved by participating in the local station board. Run for a seat on the board by becoming a candidate between June 1st and June 30th. Complete your candidate package located on elections.pacifica.org. Call 707-500-1910 to leave a voicemail for the election supervisor.
Thank you to the following for providing food for our phone volunteers during our spring membership drive. Sabu Hakim, Vicino's Restaurant Italiano, Crown Caribbean Bakery, Lamont's Entertainment Complex. Thank you for supporting WPFW, Building a Better World, one broadcast at a time.
This is movement time, and when it's movement time, we can all be together.
Reverend Dr. William Barber.
We are here to announce on June the 29th at 10 o'clock on Pennsylvania and 3rd, we are calling for the Mass Poor People's Low Wage Workers Assembly and Moral March on Washington and to the polls, June 29th, 2024. We're saying the last picture of D.C. ought not be people tearing the Capitol up and trying to tear democracy down. We need a picture of folk trying to build a democracy up and lift up all people.